Today on It's So Bad, we are talking about the photography game that is about the Pokemans, the Pokemon. It's Pokemon Snap here on It's So Bad. Podcast. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
Happy to
be here.
And Dan, you're with us. The last time you were here was a lost episode.
Yeah. you're gonna have to pay for that if you want to hear Paperboy, because it's just so bad.
It is a little bit too bad. It is a lost episode. What ended up happening was we did a podcast on what else did we do?
Ninja Gaiden.
That was a good one.
And then the following one, during that podcast, we were drinking some beverages and imbibing a little bit too much. So that the second podcast that we did, which was Paperboy, did not come out that great.
The best was after we did the Paperboy podcast, we started playing Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey.
Nice.
And every time Mike would pass the puck to Rick, the game would just stop because Rick wasn't playing. He was sitting there with his eyes shut, you know, just holding the controller in his hand. And, you know, I just come in there and wham!
So that's what we do here on It's So Bad occasionally. But we are here in the afternoon not doing too much of that today, unfortunately.
We'll hold it to one beer.
Yeah, we'll see. And we're with
no promises.
Steve. Steve, what was the last one you were on?
I think the last one I was on was Cuphead.
The legendary Cuphead.
The Ledgehead, yeah, exactly.
The legendary Cuphead. And Encore, when was the last time you were also Cuphead?
I was Cuphead, yeah. That was the only one I was on.
These are the guys. These are the Cuphead guys.
Uh-oh, we're going to start fighting.
Hey, I'm not a fighter. You know, if you guys think Cuphead is that great, hey, who am I to say
I'm willing to walk back my opinion. I think I've heard about this drama about the Cuphead episode, but Cuphead I don't know what the specifics of it are.
It's just when I see the games below Cuphead, like the Mortal Kombat, you know, even Ninja Gaiden, I sit there and I cringe a little bit.
I feel like
it's my inexperience. I have no Cuphead.
Were those on the list when we were talking about Cuphead? Like, did we
Cuphead
put Cuphead
like,
above
was like
those?
The fourth game
no,
we,
no, Cuphead was like. So it's actually my fault.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say.
Technically, it's my fault.
I don't know that I would put Cuphead above Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Or
Final
Fantasy VI.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah.
I've never played that.
I agree. I'm definitely willing to back down on my high placement of Cuphead.
We'll have to. We're gonna reconsider it. I think that once we get to 25 yams on the list, I'll have an episode where we reconsider things.
Yeah, right. Reshuffle.
There's also River City Ransom at number 5, with you guys had nothing to do with.
I really enjoy River City Ransom. I would actually keep it. I don't know about 5, but I would
Final
definitely put
Fantasy
it in. I put
down
it in top
at 7,
10.
That's
yeah,
kinda...
the order may be off, but I would definitely put it up in top 10 in terms of the games at least that have been covered.
But
so
just
far.
To contextualize this for our audience base, what we do here is we have a list, and what these podcasts are is us putting these games on an endless list of games. So that's what we're doing here today. And today we're adding a game called Pokemon Snap. But yes, before we get into Pokemon Snap, Encore, you were just telling me, what have you been playing recently?
Oh, I've been playing a lot of Battlefield 5.
Battlefield 5. Have you also been playing that, Steve?
I have also been playing a lot of Battlefield 5.
Is that what's consuming your every being?
Pretty much right now, yeah.
Do you find it fun?
Oh, I love all the Battlefield games.
I don't think I've ever played a Battlefield game.
Going back to World War II, especially in this one, was all I could have ever asked for, honestly.
Who else is we got a couple other people playing from our group?
Yeah, Matsy plays and Jake plays too.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and the squads are only 4, so it kind of works out.
Oh, great. You guys aren't playing like the big battles?
No, we are, but you have a squad that you can spawn on them and like you kind of work as a team to earn points.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So in Battlefield 1, it was a 5-man squad, but they reduced it to 4.
Okay.
Yeah. I think 4 was the original it was supposed to be, yeah. Yeah, but you have a bunch of different classes, assault, medic.
They still have a lot of the vehicles because that was the big thing.
Yeah. So we almost always just do the 64-player battle, the big one. And I find that the most fun. That's probably my biggest gripe with like games like Call of Duty is the limited player count on it.
Yeah.
Honestly. Having those big, massive battles is... It's just so fun.
Sounds very fun.
Very fun. Very fun.
I myself, you know, I'm a Nintendo guy. I don't really delve into the PlayStation or Xbox. I've owned certain systems like that, but you sure. know, it's just my. I'm a little kid at heart. I'll always have a passion for the cartoony, you know, different types of stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, the other game that I've been playing, I've been splitting my time between Battlefield 5 and Breath of the Wild, which mm-hmm. has been great. So I think I'm about halfway, maybe a little bit more than halfway done with that game now.
Are you going to be starting that, Dan?
What's that?
Did you get Breath of the Wild?
No. When I de-pantsed that guy for the Nintendo Switch, I ended up getting the Mario Odyssey game and Mario Kart.
Okay.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
Mario Kart 8 is really good.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
It's really fun.
That's what it is, 8.
What we do in our group is that we play Mario Kart Drunk Driving, which is what you have to do is you start the race with a full can of beer, and then you have to finish the beer, can of beer in the time the race goes around.
So it's like softball.
Yes. So what ends up happening is everybody just chugs their beer at the very beginning, and then they go and they play.
Wow. But
and yes, you can't drive and drink at the same time.
It's illegal.
Right?
You're not allowed.
It's illegal.
It is.
It's illegal. Yeah.
But you can drink and then drive.
Yes, you can That's do that. Illegal. Or you can drive, stop, drink a little, continue driving, yeah. stop, drink yeah. a little.
I mean, how do you get back and forth to the bar?
We're all very well practiced at this, I'm sure.
But yeah, Breath of the Wild's a really good game to recommend. The other, obviously, the best game for Switch. I enjoyed Super Mario Odyssey. I liked Breath of the Wild a little bit more, though.
Fair.
And as you guys just saw, I was playing Dark Souls Remastered for the Switch. And it's basically a piece of shit. I hate it and I love it at the same time. It's really great. It's a great game. The design of the levels is pretty phenomenal. The way they have interconnected shortcuts and stuff. I don't know if you guys have ever played that game.
Mm-hmm. I've played it a little bit.
Yeah, so you unlock shortcuts, and there's no, at the very beginning, there's no fast travel between your save points. You have to, like, go navigate these various different corridors and shortcuts. It's pretty awesome. I like it a lot. It's just very brutal. I remember I was walking through, and I was like, oh, yeah, I killed these three guys. And then you walk through a tunnel, and there's a fucking mage that comes up behind you and just wrecks you, who's above you, that you can't see.
A mage?
Like, it's actually like a priest, like an undead priest. And then there's another one where you fight a boss, and bosses are extremely difficult, and you beat a boss, one of the early bosses, and you exit around, and you're like, oh, there's got to be a save point here, because you don't automatically save in this game. But you exit around the corner, and a fucking dragon comes down and just kills you instantly. There's nothing you can do about it, because the game is balls hard.
Yeah, this is why every time I try to play Dark Souls, like, a year or two will go by, and I'll be like, maybe I'll try Dark Souls again, and I'll play for about 4 hours and something like that will happen and I will throw my controller down and say fuck this game forever, and then I'll inevitably end up playing again like 2 years from now thinking I can, you know, actually have some fun with it.
Yeah.
They also love the narrow corridors that has like an opening at the end of it, and then right at the left or the right behind the core and the opening is a bad guy who's just waiting to kill you. This game is so fucking stupid.
Well, one of the first bosses I ever encountered in the original Dark Souls, you're not even supposed to fight him. You're supposed to run by him.
Right.
And I spent however many hours just trying to figure it out. And then somebody told me at work the next day, oh, yeah, you don't fight him. You just run right by him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
So I played Dark Souls 3, so I learned that. Because there's some guys where if you're just hitting them and you're not doing anything to them, then you should probably not fight them.
Yeah. But it's one of those situations where it's like very, very early in the game and it seems like the obvious path that you're supposed to take and you're like, there's this giant unbeatable boss. Yeah. I don't know what I can do.
Well, in Dark Souls 3, the first boss is like right in the first 15 minutes and he's near impossible. I'd never played a Dark Souls game before, so I didn't really know what to do.
Yeah.
And he's just like a balls hard guy and he's like the first 10 minutes.
Yep. I played Dark Souls 3 and I spent a lot of time and I finally beat him and I was like, maybe I'm getting the hang of Dark Souls now. Went on to the next boss and was instantly destroyed. And I was like, nope. And that was the throwing the controller out the window moment.
Yeah, I keep on picking them up on Steam sales. Like, I'm committed to playing them in order. But every time I see a Steam sale, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to play that eventually. But at the rate this is going, I will never get to 3, let alone Dark Souls 2.
I'm committed. I will. One thing that I do with games is, like, if I'm playing a game, I'm going to fucking beat it.
Yeah.
It's very rare, unless it's, like, a 60-hour game, and I'm, like, 20 hours into it, and I'm like, fuck, this is a 60-hour game, that I'm not going to beat a game. Very, very rare. Like, I know Dark Souls. I'm committed to it. It's going to take me, like, 40, 50 hours. I've played, like, 10 hours. I'm good. I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Thank you.
But we are here today to talk about the game Pokemon Snap, developed by HAL Laboratory. Do you guys know what HAL Laboratory is?
I don't.
No?
HAL Laboratory?
Yes.
Let's see. HAL Laboratory. That would be a place where... No, I have no idea.
So it's a developer for Nintendo. They made Kirby 64.
Oh, yes.
They also made...
Asexual, heroes.
Yes, they made Earthbound, SimCity for Super Nintendo. They made the original Kirby games for, and also the Super Nintendo games, as well as The Adventures of Lolo, which was a good one. Published by Nintendo, release date of June 1999. This is kind of like a swan song N64 game, like after the N64 was really had its popularity. Mm-hmm. They were kind of reaching the tail end, and they were like, what the fuck do we do now? And I guess they were like, well, you can just put Pokemon on a game.
Yep.
And that's what... generally
not
happen.
All of them, of course.
No, I don't know why they didn't put any... They've never put a mainline Pokemon game on a console.
Yeah, this was the first one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a mainline game. It's just a... it's like a side story. Mm-hmm. But what's your... what's all your histories with the Pokemon franchise?
Oh, probably sixth grade. Came on TV. The video games were where it was at. The blue one and the red one, mm-hmm, for Game Boy.
Which one do you have?
I had the blue, my brother had the red.
Nice.
Which was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, doing transfers and all that. I remember not being able to find one of those cables for the longest time.
Link
that,
cable.
That was like, you know, something that was 3 or 4 years old, you know.
Right.
No one was using it anymore. And then everyone's like, shit, we need one now.
And that was right around when we got a Funko Land.
Yep.
So that's where you could probably find one.
Yep. No, I mean, that's totally where it started for me. I remember bringing my Game Boy to school and playing all day in school and, you know, just... That I was obsessed. Absolutely obsessed.
What about you guys?
Yeah, same for me. I think I had both. I think I got them both for Christmas one year.
Nice.
Because my birthday's right before Christmas. That's, so I always got like big gifts.
Yeah. Nice advantage there. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you cash tag in. Team. You go 12 months, but you cash in. And I think I played about halfway through Blue, and then I switched to Red, and I kind of went back and forth. But yeah, I mean, the TV show, the game, came out when I was like 8 or 9, I forget exactly.
Right around there.
I was all in on that. The cards, everything. Like, everybody at school loved Pokemon.
Yeah, I got into the cards later, but I started on Blue myself. A lot of my friends actually in school had Blue, and that one kid that had Red was just like the popular kid for a whole year.
That
kid
was the man. Yeah. Trading Growlithe to everybody.
Yeah, you want
to
hang out after school real quick? I got a link cable. Don't worry about it. Like,
So for me, the original Pokemon Red and Blue came out in 98, which was a year before this game came out. And in 98, I was 15. So a 15-year-old, I should not have been playing Pokemon because I was a little bit too old, probably. I didn't think it was very cool, but at the same time, I still would come home and watch cartoons from high school because I was in high school at the time. And I'd still come home and watch, and I'd like turn on Pokemon, and I'd be like, oh, this is kind of like a guilty pleasure, I guess. And I definitely got, I had, I think, either Red or Blue. I can't remember which one, but I definitely had those games. Mm-hmm. And I played the shit out of those games.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, but like anything, we all had stuff when we were kids. Like, oh, shit, this can't get into school. You know, if someone heard about me, you know, with my Ninja Turtle sleeping bag.
For us, a lot of it was professional wrestling.
Right. We learned to have tight lips at the age of 5, you know, because you go in, everyone's going, oh, that's fake. And you don't want to hear that shit. So, you know.
And then it got cool right around that time, 1998.
Right. And then it got cool. And it's like, okay, well, now I got Pokemon that I have to hide from everybody.
And now you got people playing the Go out there.
I was actually doing that myself right outside your house.
I am amazed that you have stayed with Pokemon Go for this long.
It got a lot better. It got a lot better.
It is. It's much better now than... Yeah. You know.
Are you playing Pokemon Go?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. It was a fun 2 months that one summer. It was a summer fling, and you know what? I'll remember it fondly. But.
Yeah. I used to go on Pokewalks. I would just put a big beer in like a big thermos and just walk around and just until I finished up the beer, go back home, fill it up again.
Nintendo is this constant purveyor of, we'll get you to exercise with our video games, and everyone believes it for like a month. Yeah. And everyone's like, you're right, I am going to walk around and get Pokemon.
You know what's funny though? That...
with a beer though.
Yeah, yeah.
That game is so widely used by people that I take a commuter rail train down the street here. And on the commuter rail, there'll be guys at stops who are like, older than me in their 40s, yep. like yep. catching Pokemon on their phones. And I've, yeah. I've seen like a Switch like once or twice on the commuter rail, but people have no shame about playing Pokemon Go on the commuter rail.
Did you guys see the Pokemon Grandpa who was in like, I want to say Singapore yeah, or something yeah, like yeah, that?
15 phones right. or something.
He had, 15 phones. A bicycle.
Yeah, wired in his bicycle. Or something. And like 10 like portable battery chargers right. and oh my god.
Yeah, and he's sitting there and he's hatching an egg on this one. He's
fucking loping something. You just look at that, you're like, that's healthy. That's definitely healthy.
I can only hope to one day reach that level of greatness where I have a bike with 15 phones on it and playing Pokemon.
We don't even know that he's a grandpa. He's just an old guy.
Right. Whatever, yeah, old exactly. guy becomes he famous, could have, he probably has no grandpa. Children. He obviously, yeah. you know, he's a deviant.
But yeah, so as I said, September 1998, Red and Blue came out in North America. I think in 96 is when it came out in Japan. Just to put this game on a timeline, too. So as I said, this was
speaking
kind of
Japan, Mike. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Can you pronounce Pokemon Snap in Japanese?
Is it Pokemon Snapu?
Yes.
Is it really?
I think it's Snapupu or something like that.
It's got to be Snapu.
Snapu?
Yeah.
All right, all right.
Snapu?
Yeah, I'm just... Yeah. I saw that earlier, and I really like that, and... you know, carry on.
Yeah, they do that. Encore has actually been to Japan.
I have been to Japan.
So,
yes, earlier
so
this year.
They borrow a lot of words from English. So like baseball is like baseball.
Oh.
So they like...
What's the U? Is that
it's just how,
indicative of anything?
Because of their alphabet, it's a consonant and a vowel, consonant, vowel, consonant, vowel. So every... It has to be attached to each other. So like fastoballo. It's like fastball.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I would hear. I actually went to a Yomiuri Giants game. They would say fastaballu.
Hato Dago. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. There's like, and they do like other languages too. Like bread is pan because N is the only letter that you don't need a vowel on. So it's French.
Hmm. But yeah, I didn't know that. Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Like Nintendo Wii Wii. A
little bit of Japanese that I know here. You
know, learn something new every day. Yeah. Educational in a way I didn't expect today.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But yeah, so this is 1999. Other games that came out before this, Ocarina of Time was kind of like the high point for the N64, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I think
yeah.
it was we all
yeah.
came out in November. It had its 20th anniversary about 2 weeks ago from when we're recording this. November 1998. February 99 is when first Mario Party came out.
It was that long before yeah. Ocarina of Time came out?
Yeah, 98.
2 years, wow.
Finding out that damn. Pokemon Red and Blue came out only a year before Pokemon Snap, like,
that's
at that time, like, that seemed like an eternity then. Right. But that really was just a year, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, when you're 10.
When it was a tenth of your life.
Yeah. Exactly. Life. Right, when you are dedicating everything yeah. you got into that damn yeah. game, you yeah. know. You're like, why isn't this on my big screen?
So there,
when did Stadium come out? Wasn't that on N64 too?
Stadium came out on... In 2000.
Okay.
It was later.
Wow, okay. Long. Okay. Yeah.
So there wasn't really any big releases. I mean, there were some that we enjoy, but no real big releases after Ocarina of Time. There's like all the Mario Party games came out. There was Smash Brothers, which was kind of like the big release for the year. But it wasn't like a super big release on the N64. Pod Racer came out a month before this.
Yeah. Great game.
Which I was talking about this on a previous podcast though. People my age do not have fondness for Pod Racer, but that game was marketed to shit, and I remember it being really heavily marketed.
Yeah, yeah.
And people just a little bit younger than me like love that game.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Did you ever play it in an arcade where they had like the actual pod and you can move the things?
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
I feel that's
like,
what got me.
How do you feel about the prequel? I feel like some of that's got to be tied into how people feel about the prequels.
Well, at the time when I first saw the movie, the prequel, I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Because I did not have a critical eye when I was like 15.
Yeah.
And then as, you know, a couple years later when Attack of the Clones came out, I was like, this actually sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was definitely aware that Attack of the Clones sucked. And then when, you know, Revenge of the Sith came out, I was like, this is marginally better, so it's worlds better. But I
well,
still have
Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
That came out, I think, in 2001?
I think it was 2002.
2002.
Yeah.
So going from a 4-year jump from being 15 to being 19 is like a big, big leap.
Yeah.
So
big time.
Yeah. So
especially,
like,
you know, for males.
And then after that, Revenge
all
of the
kinds
Sith.
Of different changes happening to the body.
Right. And then Revenge of the Sith, I saw that. I was studying abroad in Italy, and I saw that. And that was in like 2005.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but episode one, I still think episode one, and this is a hot take, but is the best prequel movie.
Get the fuck out.
And
get
I get it. No, I get it. I get it. I'm not trying to actually defend it, but
that movie
I just,
was so wizard.
It's so wizard. And it had cool things, and pod racing was cool. I mean, and granted, I was, I think, 10 or 9 or whatever it was.
That, sure. That movie, just for the battle sequence in Jar Jar Binks and that whole thing, it was just so bad, CG.
I get it.
What was it, Duel of Fates? That's from episode 1, right?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that whole fight scene was that pretty sweet.
It had great sequences, and I liked that it was, like, its own story off on the side, but I get that it's, like, actually bad.
It's really bad. Yeah. But yeah, so just to bring it back here. So 98 is when Red comes out. Yellow comes out in 1999 for Pokemon games. Gold and Silver comes out in 2000, and they're cranking out Pokemon games. Because if you really think about it, those games were driving Nintendo into the GameCube because they had nothing. They had like some minor things, but Pokemon was huge.
Yeah.
The anime, the movies they made, the games they made so many different spin-offs too.
And they would also go. I remember Gold and Silver coincided with Stadium 2. Am I wrong? Am I right?
I never really played too deep into the Pantheon, but that sounds about right.
But that you know, that makes sense that they're trying to branch out into, because I mean, I couldn't imagine, like, Mario 64 was a big game to me.
Definitely.
And if they made a Pokemon, imagine all the characters, imagine all the stages, the bosses, all this different stuff that they would have to put in there.
Right.
I mean, you do see a reason why they didn't put it on the 64, but they had to do something. I mean, Nintendo loves money. So they put
the
Stadium 2 game out there right at the same time as Gold and Silver.
Right.
You know, and now you need Gold, Silver, and this other little piece for $60.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you guys play up to? Like, what did you ever stop playing Pokemon games?
Yeah,
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I was Blue, and then I never played Gold or Silver. And
Gold is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, I kind of regret playing that, but then I ended up going to, what was it, Diamond and Pearl? Yeah. I think came out, and Leaf Green, where they redid the old ones.
Yeah, but there was one before that, like Emerald and Ruby.
Oh,
and
I missed those ones too.
Crystal
or Sapphire was it?
Yeah.
Ruby Sapphire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't play. I think I played Yellow, and I played Stadium when it came out, and I played Pokemon Snap, but not really past that.
Did you play Gold? Gold and Silver?
Yep. I had Gold, my brother had Silver.
That game was mind-blowing at the time.
Oh.
Because, so the game, right, it has a completely separate region that you're in at the start, and you beat the Elite Four, and then it opens up the first game, and the whole map from the first game and all the gyms are at the very end.
That's pretty cool.
It was in, like, 1990 or 2000. On a Game Boy game? That was mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Connected universes right there. Right. Like, oh, my God, we're back.
Yeah, so it was really good. I actually just played, I found at a thrift store Platinum, which was a DS game. I picked up a DS like two or 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. I just played through Platinum. It was pretty good. It wasn't the greatest one.
I have White for the DS. I think that came out 5 or 6 years ago, something
Yeah, it wasn't
like
that long ago.
Yeah.
It was like White, Black and White, X and Y.
Yeah, yeah. And I got White, you know, played that, beat, you know, like, 4 bosses, and I was like, meh, forget it. You know. But
my DS got stolen at Bonnaroo when Steve and I actually went down there.
Oh, that was us. So that was claimed.
I was so
pissed. I remember that. Yeah. You were like, I was going to play that back on the drive.
Yeah. I had Final Fantasy Tactics. I think it was the second one or whatever one came out for DS. I 99% of
goddamn hippies.
99% of
fish. Another reason.
I had 3 quests left to finish it.
Can't buy fish.
Let's think it was all about love.
It was during fish.
We got robbed twice, both during fish.
Yeah, because they headlined two nights. Yeah,
it was on Friday and Sunday.
No, it's badmouth fish went. So Matt's listening.
While Matt's not here yet.
No, I don't want to. That's all I got on fish right now.
I like fish.
But yes, one of the things I was thinking about, so we talked about the endless list that we do this, why we do this podcast. One of the things I was thinking about as playing this game is, if this was like a top 100 list or like a top 50 list, I don't think this game would be on it. But since this
top
is...
top 100?
Yeah, I don't know. No. But since this is the endless list... And
seems
we
like
talk
a top 200 game, maybe.
Maybe.
Top 50.
But since
how many games for N64? It's like 290-something, 300-something?
This is actually the 11th best-selling N64 game.
I believe that.
I believe it. Yeah. Dude, the Pokemon hype was huge. They could have released the shittiest piece of shit, they would have sold a million of them.
They did some crazy, crazy shit with this game, too, when it came out. I remember being in a hotel and you could pay like $8 or something, and you could play N64 through the TV in the hotel room. Like, wow. I think that was around the same time.
Yes, that, yeah. There was a big tie-in for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So just in terms of the development of this game did not start as a Pokemon game. Naturally.
Fair enough.
It was a cash grab when they realized that Pokemon became a hot thing. Satoru Iwata, who became the president, who was the president of Nintendo, he died recently, a couple years ago.
R.I.P.
But he was the president of HAL Laboratory at the time. He said, originally, Pokemon Snap for the N64 wasn't a Pokemon game, but rather a normal game in which you took photos, but the motivation for playing the game wasn't clear. We wondered what players would enjoy taking pictures of, and later on, we made a somewhat forced switch to taking pictures of Pokemon. So even he admits, he is like, we actually were like, we have this hot property and we want to make some money. So,
but just imagine, dude, the replay value if that game was just you taking pictures of like sunsets and shit.
It's true.
Like,
yeah.
It'd be cool, but it's like,
get old pretty quick.
Yeah. You're certainly not going to be playing it for like 4 hours.
Right.
You need goals, you know?
Yeah, and this game was also supposed to be on the N64 DD. Do you know what the N64 DD is?
Yeah, that was like the
bottom thing.
The disc drive.
Yeah.
So it was only released in Japan, flopped really hard, and they only made like a handful of games for it. So they made Mario Artist, which was supposed to be a Mario Paint sequel.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
And they made an expansion for F-Zero X, and they made, I think, might have been a SimCity game on there, I think. But there was only like a handful of games on the N64 DD. But they moved it from N64 DD to the regular N64 just so they could actually sell some copies of this game.
Yep.
This is the first time that you would see 3D Pokemon as well.
Oh, that's in a game. Yeah,
that's true.
So this was a year after Red and Blue. First time you see them.
Yeah. Yeah, and a year before Stadium, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you actually see how they move and interact, and that's part of the fun, I guess. One of the things that came out of this game, actually, I think it was in the anime first, but you get to see a lot of Pokemon in their natural habitats and see how they move, and which was interesting for people at the time. One of the things was Slowpoke, his evolution. If you just play the game, he just evolves into Slowbro. But if you play the N64 game, what he does, and in the anime, is he will go down to a river, and his tail will get bitten by a Shellder, and that's how he becomes Slowbro, because Slowbro has a Shellder tail.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
So you see that in the game. There's shit like that that happens, where you see evolutions in the wild. Yeah. It's like you're going on a safari.
And if you push a Growlithe in a volcano, you know, it becomes a Arcanine. Like, that's how he evolves, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Charmeleon, Nakamit, yeah, and then Charizard pops out, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get covered in magma first.
And a Magikarp, if he goes in the... In the waterfall, he becomes a Gyarados.
Oh, yeah. You had to, like, throw an apple and then try to hit it in the air to get it into the waterfall or something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
That shit was hard.
On my game at home, I get 60 Pokemon, and Gyarados isn't one of them.
Oh, no.
Time period for the N64, there were not a lot of voice acting in the games, so you wouldn't hear like actual samples because of the hardware limits of the cartridge. This game actually takes samples from the anime and uses them for the Pokemon voices.
That makes sense.
So they do that, and they had original voice acting by the guy who plays Professor Oak, who's super fucking annoying, and he's got the nice shot.
Welcome back.
If you really it's like, yeah, dude, I heard that like 30 seconds ago. I know. I'm back again.
If you really look at this game, right, all of it really feels like a cardboard cutout of a game, right?
Yeah.
It's not a deep game. Story behind this game is that Todd Snap has been summoned by Professor
Todd Oak.
Todd Snap.
I don't know if I ever knew his last name.
His name is Todd Snap. Todd Snap's been summoned by Professor Oak to Pokemon Island to take pictures of Pokemon for scientific purposes.
Wow.
That's it.
And yet...
Got it.
I'm so captivated. Yeah.
I couldn't look away.
Yeah, I guess I did some digging. There's a Pokemon Wikipedia. I forget what it's called at this point. But they say that they have a description of Pokemon Island in that there used to be humans that lived there. They don't live there anymore.
Wonder what happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, so
if only they told you in the game. Maybe that could have been the end goal. Figure out what happened.
So that's why there's like train tracks there and there's stuff, but there's no humans that live there. It's just Pokemon. Yeah. So
it'd be nice if, you know, you could, there was some sort of end thing where, you know, there's like a Pinsir like blocking a cave or something, you know, and you have to like beat the Pinsir and all these millions of people come out like, oh my God, thank you.
There was like a Pokemon Jurassic Park or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, like everyone caught the last helicopter out and now you're in the Lost World and Jeff Goldblum and the army is showing up.
But you bring up Jurassic Park. That's a great point. This game is basically like, it takes a lot from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
In the, you're on a rail.
Yeah, it's a rail safari.
You're moving
type game.
On the cart. The cart's name is the 01.
Oh,
I don't.
The infamous.
Yeah. Yes. So, did you guys ever watch the? You guys did. You mentioned you watched the cartoon.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
I crushed that cartoon.
Yeah, I watched it every Saturday, and then when we were freshmen in college, we rewatched a lot.
Oh yeah, it's actually I have it all still downloaded on my computer from when we did that.
I was thinking about that in anticipation of this podcast, and I was like, I would definitely watch the first couple of seasons of Pokemon again.
Hell yeah!
Great TV.
Did you watch the? You did watch the cartoon, right?
Oh yeah, my mom had a little babysitting thing going on at home, so I would always sneak my way in there, and you know, that's when the kids would be quiet because they're all sitting there watching Pokemon, and I'd sit there and be like, hell yeah, you know, look at Brock with that Geodude.
Yeah, mom, I'll look after the kids real quick.
Yeah, no, I got this, mom. Don't worry about
it. Just for half an hour though.
Yeah, I'm sitting there staring at the TV like, oh shit, what's happening?
I always thought Geodude was creepy, but that's just me. It's a little rock with arms.
I've always been a fan of, you know, like the unheralded Pokemon, you know, some of them.
What, like what?
Oh, like Lickitung or
fair enough.
Tangela or, you know, like there's just some that, you know, you never see, never hear.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
He's right.
Yeah, yeah.
They also suck in battle, so it's like, all right.
Yeah.
I was playing,
people don't talk about it.
I was playing Platinum and they had all these like weird Pokemon that I was like, I don't know what the fuck these Pokemon are. It was like, I can't even remember any of their names, but because they're so not iconic.
That's happened to me with Pokemon Go right now, too. Right. All like they just did the new generation,
the fourth generation.
Yeah,
now.
And I'm like, who the fuck are these?
Right.
This is why I never played past like the original games.
Yeah,
I was very comfortable with the 151 Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then they were like, now it's 250 or whatever
it's
it was.
It's like 600 now.
But like each time it was they added a chunk of Pokemon. Yeah. And I was like, I barely know all the 151 Pokemon.
Yeah.
I'm not memorizing 60 more.
So
and
I
they're
so,
running out of ideas too. Like
yeah,
when you
yeah.
see like Bunnery, and it's a bunny.
Yeah,
you know,
with a weird
like,
ear.
Well,
it's a bunny.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
There was a bear in the first one that's named like, I forget what it is, but it's like Ursa or something like that.
Then, yeah.
But it's just like the name for bear in Japanese.
Right. Yep.
Urasang or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there's like there's some other there's Toro, I think.
Yeah.
Is a bull.
The bull.
Come on.
That's how you know it's
Tauros,
just purely a cash grab marketing move. It's just like, you know, you could tell pretty good story. I think you could tell some pretty good stories in the Pokemon universe.
What's the?
But they're just like, nope, more Pokemon.
What's the cow's name that has rollout that's super annoying when you
Miltank?
Have to? Yeah. So
Miltank. Yeah. Yeah.
Milk
right.
tank.
Oh, and don't forget the obvious Squirtle, the turtle.
He squirts.
War turtle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Blastoise.
It was a little on the nose, but that's fine.
Squirtle.
Okay, quick question. A little aside. In the first Red and Blue, what were your starters?
Squirtle,
yeah.
What was your starter?
Squirtle.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You start water.
Why would you? Who'd you pick?
Bulbasaur?
No. The fire guy. Who's Charmander.
Yeah.
So we'd be the guys with blue at school, and you'd be the guy with red.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, again, I went back like a third of the way into blue and started red, and I was like, now I can play with Charmander.
Yeah.
It was definitely a Charmander guy. In fact, the stupid starter Pokemon for Platinum, one of the ones, I picked the fire one again, and the fire one was a fire monkey.
Yeah, it's like Chimichar.
Chimichanga?
Chimichingo.
It's like, what the hell is this? It's a fighting fire Pokemon.
Yep. It throws flaming shits.
I was like, this has got to be a low point for starters.
Oh, man.
Right.
But yeah, so just in terms of the gameplay and kind of the reason why this game was pretty fun is that you're going through all these different levels. How many levels are there? Do we know?
Seven, I think. Seven regions?
Including Rainbow?
Yeah, including Rainbow.
And then you have to take pictures of the various different Pokemon. There are 63 Pokemon. There were supposed to be 64, hence N64, but one of them got left out because the level wasn't used.
What a bunch of dumbasses. Wait,
really?
Yeah. So, Nintendo 63.
Yeah.
So that's why they never advertised that there were 63, but there were, so there's an Ekans who's actually on the cart, the snake guy, and it was not used in the game. Huh. But yes, and that's also a limitation of the hardware. Okay. So they couldn't add all 151 Pokemon initially because there were too many Pokemon. So they just had 60. They were going to have 64. They had 63. But yeah, you're judged by Professor Oak on a number of different criteria. Size, centering, and if there's something special happening.
Like multiples and stuff like that.
Oh, and also multiples. If there's more than one Pokemon, you get higher points. So you get points. And what does he say if it's not good enough? He's like, oh, so close.
Yeah, something really annoying like that. Yeah.
It's like, God damn it. I just want to get some points here for some Pokemans.
I'm disappointed in you, boy. You failed me. Yeah. I think that's what he says, right?
Just crushing
disappointed me. In you, boy. You get back in that car and you take some more pictures.
But yeah, so you're trying to score points. Points unlock new things. So you'll get an apple. You get the Pester Ball. You get a Poke Flute that looks suspiciously like a bong. In the game.
It does, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Looks very much like a bong.
You just get back and Professor Oak is just like ripping it.
Well, these pictures are great.
Yeah. Ooh, look at this.
Is that Pikachu on a surfboard?
I just want to... So I was looking up these, the Pester Ball and all the different balls, and the Pester Ball, the description of it in the manual is that it emits noxious gas that makes Pokemon mad.
Little fart bombs.
It makes them like do
just
stuff.
Chemical warfare.
Yeah.
So you're basically just hitting them over the head with poison. You're throwing them at them to do stupid shit.
It's got to be really good for this tiny island.
Right. It's like, and you keep constantly hitting the button, so you're sending a million fucking Pester Balls out.
Imagine if they did this in Jurassic Park. They're like, hey, dinosaur. Hey, do something cool.
That would have solved their problem pretty damn quick, though. Yeah, let's poison the fucking dinosaurs. Okay, we're done.
Another reason why.
And everyone went home.
Right. Yeah. And then they'd be like, okay, we can start and rebuild these fences and shit.
The Pokemon universe is pretty dystopian, and this is why. They're the subordinate species. They're just mocked, ridiculed.
I find it funny, too. There's a part where you're on the river level. Where they have to throw the Pester Ball at gravelers who are climbing up a wall, and they fall down, and you can take a picture of them, like, good picture. Can you imagine going on, like, a safari somewhere and, like, throwing shit at
That's what you do to the lions.
You won't
see his eyes unless you hit him. Wake up, bitch.
Let's throw some poison at them.
It's like, you're not staring at me. I'm not going to get a big enough high score.
And little kids are eating this up. They're like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, this is what you're doctoring.
Come on, boy, throw it.
Yeah. Then they go work border security, and that's what happens.
Ooh, damn.
You're being indoctrinated with Pester Balls. I know you mentioned, too, Encore, I believe you played this at a hotel.
I did, yeah.
One of the key facets of actually this game was they had, and why it sold so much, is they included this on a lot of hotel units. And another thing that they did was they set up sticker stations at Blockbusters here in the States where you could pay $3.99 and print out your image of Pokemon.
Wow.
Good God.
I feel like I saw one of those at a Blockbuster.
I think I saw them too, but I was like, $3.99 for a picture of Pokemon is not a good deal. But yeah, so now if you want to find one of those sticker stations, they rarely will appear on eBay, but they cost upwards of a couple grand.
Jeez.
People are collecting those.
This gets into like the mania around the cards too, that people would pay ridiculous amounts of money to get a picture, a shiny picture of a Charizard.
Fun fact, my first pack I ever opened, I had a Charizard in it.
Oh, me really? Too. Yeah.
Yep.
No wow. shit.
Yep.
Yep. I was on a streak where every other pack I bought, I would get a foil card. It was wow. absolutely nuts.
Dude, I think about having those all the time. I don't know what happened. You know, my mom must have
The TCG, the collectible
trash.
Card game or mm-hmm. CCG?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I paid $20 for a Jolteon one time, and my mom found out about that transaction, and she was like, "That's absurd. You're not buying it anymore." That was the end of it.
I never played the Pokemon card game. Played Magic. It was
I played, well, that not as much as Magic anyway. But yeah, I collected them just because everyone else was collecting them. I had a couple of friends that we would like combine cards and do a collection and like try to trade them to like first graders for... much better cards. I got like a foil Blastoise and gave up like 7.
I'll trade you these blue energy.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, one of them was like a Caterpie or some shit. And like, I was like, ah, but this one's so cool. Don't you remember the show? And then, yeah, they were like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
This is why you need the SEC. And among
But yeah, so with the sticker stations too, they actually had a contest where Take Your Best Shot contest where the winner, Nintendo, flew to Australia on a photography tour.
Huh.
So that is something that happened.
That's pretty cool.
I wonder who won that.
I was going to say, you know, yeah.
Where this person is now.
Yeah. That was their claim to fame.
They should find him.
Right.
I mean, they found
him. I would love to listen to his, you know, be like, yeah, we went there for fucking 2 days, you know. They didn't pay for the hotel. Like they said, everything was going to be reimbursed.
It's like the people who won the house from the In Your House competition.
Right,
for
that
wrestling.
Kid flipped that house in like a year. So it paid for his college.
WWF had used to call their pay-per-views In Your House, and one of the contests they had in like the mid-90s was they gave away a house for if you bought an In Your House pay-per-view. And that house got flipped.
I believe
and the
it.
Best part is they're giving away a house and there was no age, you know, you have to be over 18 or anything like that. So this kid ended, like a 12-year-old kid ended up winning the house. And, you know, obviously his dad had to sign all the stuff.
Of course, yeah.
But it was like they wanted to advertise this and they're like, okay, I guess it worked out for him because, you know, a kid winning the house, it's like, oh, cool, you know.
Cool.
But at the time, it pissed me off.
I don't know if I would have like the awareness to be like, I'm going to sell this shit and pay for college. I'd be like, fuck yeah, I got a house. Yo, everyone come over.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure his old man's like, Nope. We're from Ohio, you shitting me? I'm going to Florida.
So what did you guys like about the game? What's your favorite part about this game?
I liked taking pictures of the Pokemon. I think that was probably my favorite part.
I think it just how, like back to the whole like first 3D model thing. Yeah. I think as a kid, it was just like mind-blowing to me to see it like that. And for me, it just like kind of got me hooked.
Yeah.
And like interacting with like the surfing Pikachu I mentioned before, like to be able to get them to do those weird ass poses
right.
well before I was like on the internet looking at forums and like doing shit like that, like finding all the secrets,
right.
figuring that shit out on my own. I was like, oh my God.
Trying to hit the Squirtles to take down that fucking Mankey on the hill.
Yeah.
God damn that Mankey.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like looking back on it, there's not a lot that's special about this game that stands out. Like, yeah, I took pictures of the Pokemon, but it was just so caught up in the hype of Pokemon and the N64 at the time that, like, immersing yourself in the Pokemon world, that was the fun part of it.
Right, mm-hmm.
I've always been a collector, and so this game, like, the Game Boy games were perfect.
Yeah,
you know, you have this goal, you're chipping away, constantly working, and I remember not being happy with this game at the time. And just thinking, you know, like, how can they fuck me like that? You know, like, I want access to all these things. But, you know, as you play it, you have fun with it. And like you said, you know, the little accoutrement, like, getting the Pikachu on the surfboard and, you know, the Mankey and the Dratini and all this shit, you know, was...
Yeah, and it was easy.
Cool.
It was easy to replay it too, because you'd be like, "Oh, I didn't get like the exact setup on that picture, right?
Yeah.
Whatever, start over this level. Right. We'll go right
points.
Back. Yeah, I can do it. I
get
more points.
Yeah,
I can do it right."
So it's interesting. I was actually, this is weird concept, but there are speed runs of this game. So people will try to get to the end credits as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And how they do it is like so different from normal speed runs, because obviously it's a on rails thing. Mm-hmm. So what they try to do is they try to get the least amount of the most points they can get out of the least amount of photos. So they have various sequences they have to go through in order to get photos because they have to, you have to reach a certain number of points to get the apple. You have to reach a certain number of points to get the pester ball. So how you go about getting that minimum level of points while progressing through the game was kind of fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very different from your normal speedrun.
People just memorizing like 1,000 distinct steps along the way to get the perfect score.
Yeah. Right, right. And they were like, they walked through, I was watching a YouTube video where a person walked through the progression of the world record and what they changed in each of the speed runs. And like, it's dropped from like 27 minutes to 20 minutes just off of 20 like
20 minutes
finding different. Yeah, finding different areas. Wow. And there's a lot of it, too. You can't actually watch speedrun because it's incredibly boring. Because what they do is they'll look, when they're not taking a photo, you have to go through a level on some points. They look straight up, so it's just blue for a lot of the screens because the game renders less and it moves quicker if you're looking straight up and nothing has to load in.
That's incredible.
That is some next level. That's nerdery right there.
I'll say that's the most neckbeardy thing I've ever heard.
We got to render a little faster. Look up. He didn't render.
There's a lot of speed runs for N64. Like the DK64 speed run, mm-hmm. you have to like look down and do all the stuff that you need to do because they don't want to load in the stuff that's around it because
right.
it slows down the hardware.
Unbelievable. I'm amazed and horrified at the same time.
I got to respect it, though, I guess.
Can't knock the hustle.
Yeah.
That's some real work right there.
There's a lot going on with that game. And it was just, that's a fun, I can't think of the YouTube channel. I should have wrote it down. But there, if you want to, it's like a 15-minute video about this. And I've recommended other world record progression videos before in other podcasts. But watching this one is very different and interesting. This game, I think, does have a lot of influence on video games, surprisingly. It's kind of one of the first games that has a photo mode that you can actually record pictures. I couldn't necessarily think of other ones. You can take screenshots within a video game, but actually taking...
Back then you could, too, pictures, on 64?
Well, on computer you probably could, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the camera came out for Game Boy?
Yeah, Game Boy camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that at the same time?
Yeah, but I think that's I guess it's similar, but this is actually within a game taking a picture.
Right, right.
It's kind of a little bit different.
And I'm thinking more like the printing process because they had like a printer for that camera on the Game Boy, and how close is that camera to the thing at Blockbuster?
You know? Right. I just think that operating in a 3D environment and taking pictures of that 3D environment, you couldn't do on hardware because it was so intensive. Up until the N64 and the PlayStation. And I don't think there were any PlayStation games that did that.
So I can't think of any.
Yeah, not that I can remember.
There's just like all the photo modes that are in games today probably owe a lot to Pokemon Snap. So we were talking about the influence of the game here. One thing I do want to bring up before we start talking about the rankings is we were talking about Pokemon Go earlier. This game, I think, Pokemon Go owes a lot to Pokemon Snap, I think.
100% agree with you.
Because you're capturing Pokemon, you're on the go, you're using your camera in an AR situation.
You're not capturing Pokemon.
You're not?
You're just taking pictures of them.
Right, but in Pokemon Go, you're capturing Pokemon.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. So it's kind of a similar, like, different take, but you bring it out to the real world.
Yeah, it's a different mechanic, and it's just kind of very simple. It's just like, oh, you've encountered it, and now you collect it by encountering it, and you have to go search for them. I kind of found that with the new, Let's Go Pikachu game and Let's Go Eevee. I played that over Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah?
And I noticed that when you encounter a Pokemon, you don't battle it. Right. You just throw Pokeballs at it, and it's like it's the same thing as Pokemon Go. Yeah. There's like a level of difficulty to catching it, and then you battle trainers later,
right?
And that's the switch, and you encounter other trainers much more often. And I noticed that was similar to Pokemon Go. It's like, oh, it's just this is for kids, and they just kind of want you to like flick your finger at the screen, and that's the mechanic.
Right.
One day they'll do real PvP in Pokemon Go.
No, they announced it. Yeah. It's coming soon. Yeah. So
I'm pretty pumped for that. That's gonna be fun.
But yeah, photography mode. You've got stuff that still continues on that. Is from Pokemon Snap, and also, but I think the thing that, as we kind of alluded to, the thing that this will best be known for is kind of giving Nintendo the runway necessary and the revenue necessary to get to the GameCube and the Nintendo DS.
Yeah,
because they had other Pokemon games that came out on the N64, Pokemon Stadium, Hey You Pikachu, Pokemon Puzzle League. Those games, aside from Pokemon Stadium, those games didn't do very well, but Pokemon Snap did really well. It was 11th best-selling Nintendo 64 game. So yeah, all these things just to consider. But we've discussed in the earlier in the show, we have our endless list of games. We currently have 14 games on the list. Every episode, we like to add a game to our list, and we will continue on forever and ever and make our endless list forever. Number 15. This is the 15th game. So, Dan, I'll start with you. Where do you think this goes on our list of games? And actually, before we get into that, you can actually find a link to this list in the description of the podcast. You can see it online on our Medium page, the It's So Bad Medium page. But yes, Dan, where do you think it goes?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been the biggest fan of the game. I mean, it quenched my thirst for catching Pokemon at a time when I was thirsty. And now, I just looking at all these other great games that you have, I couldn't put it, you know, in the top 10 for sure. So I'll just say 11.
So you're gonna displace WWF No Mercy, or are you gonna put it after No Mercy?
It's after No Mercy.
So at 12.
12. Yeah, 12.
You think 12? Where do you think?
I love No Mercy. I can't do that.
Steve, where do you think it goes?
Well, I think it's tough because I haven't played all these games, obviously, and some of them, I think, where they currently are, should be someplace else. But that's something that we've addressed, and you know. Agreed. But the list in its current form, I would put it toward the bottom. I would put it. I don't know. Maybe. So you have WWF No Mercy at 11, Ninja Gaiden at 12, Paperboy 13. Yeah, I would put it at 11, I guess, and bump those final four down.
Okay.
I disagree with putting it above Ninja Gaiden. That could also just be me. Ninja Gaiden was a big part of my childhood, too. Like, I used to burn CDs of the soundtrack and blast that shit in my car when I was driving around after I got my license. The soundtrack on the game was
That's kind of why I was like, I wish certain games were not exactly where they were, because I agree with that.
I think I would put it at 13 above Paperboy and Contra Hardcore.
Okay.
I
do think that Ninja Gaiden is a better game than this.
Yeah.
So
that's like the wall stopping me from going higher.
But Dan, you don't think Ninja Gaiden's a better game than this game?
I have been playing a lot of Ninja Gaiden lately. And, you know, I can definitely buy Ninja Gaiden being better than this game.
Yeah.
I believe you. Yeah.
So we
I think
we all
fishing around 13.
I think everyone is around 13 now.
Yeah, having not played WWF and Ninja Gaiden, I believe that those are better than Pokemon Snap. So
yeah.
I just think that Ninja Gaiden has a story. And it has cutscenes, which are really cool. And I think the gameplay even still holds up today.
Yeah.
Definitely. Whereas I can get really bored with Pokemon Snap.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's a better game than Paperboy. It's kind of a similar game to Paperboy. I think it's a better game than Paperboy. I think it's a better, more influential game than Contra Hardcore. So I do think it goes at, you want to put it at number 13?
That feels good.
13
yeah.
above Paperboy and Contra, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Are we actually coming to an agreement on where a game should be placed?
Right, a little bit of discussion goes a long way. Yeah.
There you go. So number 13 on our list is Pokemon Snap for today. And this has been a great podcast, guys. Thank you so much.
It has been a great podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Are you guys looking forward to Detective Pikachu?
I am looking forward to Detective Pikachu.
I'm very excited for it.
The movie or the game?
The movie.
The movie, yeah.
The movie, yeah. Deadpool is Pikachu? Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I've been a movie.
I don't go to the movies.
Did you see the trailer though?
Yeah, I saw the trailer.
You weren't excited for it?
You know. Yeah. You know, I'm so scarred. I don't want, you know, everything gets ruined, you know, and things can so easily be driven into the ground, you know, like, I just don't want Pikachu to be like, you know, eating a cheeseburger and shit like that, you know, like, be a Pikachu.
There's a good chance he's going to eat a cheeseburger.
Yeah, yeah, sure, exactly. And it's going to be like, okay, cool. Yeah, Pikachu's, you know, so hip and so human.
But it's
a
different Pikachu. It's Detective Pikachu.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's a new Pikachu.
He's like
Pikachu.
Smoking cigars.
Yeah, exactly.
So is he possessed by a human? Is that why he can speak? Or is it just Nutty Professor?
I think the one person can understand him, and no one else can understand
him. It's like Dr. Doolittle.
I will say, so I was not looking forward to this movie, and then I saw the way the Pokemon look, and I was like, all right, this is whatever. Then I watched the trailer, and in the trailer, right at the very beginning, the kid who's in the movie with the Pokemon, he has on his bedroom wall, like, Sinnoh Championship Finals, and I was like, wait, whoa, hold up a second. So you're telling me this isn't in our world, this is in the Pokemon world? And then they showed all the Pokemon in the trailer? Because I thought it was just going to be like somehow Pikachu got into our world,
oh,
and
wow.
It was just Pikachu. And I think that's what a lot of people's conception of what this movie was going to be. But then they showed all the Pokemon interacting kind of like Snap, where you see how they are in the wilds, where you saw the Squirtles and you saw the whatever, a bunch of other Pokemon that are just in that movie. And I was like, wow, this movie looks like it's going to be maybe good.
I'm pretty excited for it. It's going to have a lot to live up to compared to Pokemon the first movie.
I was like, I told my 5-year-old nephew, I was like, hey, you want to go to Detective Pikachu? And he looks at me and he goes, what's a Pikachu?
What? You'll learn, son.
You're not there yet. You're not there yet.
Get ready for a free lesson.
Totally knows what Mario is. Totally knows.
Just bust out the Poke rap. He'll be into it. Yeah.
I'm not gonna do the Poke rap right now. I know the DK rap much better than the Pokemon rap.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not gonna do it.
Somebody was gonna jump in. That wasn't finally gonna be me.
I mean, that's a great. And also the remix from Melee, Super Smash Bros. Melee is so good for that game and for that song. But nevertheless, okay, we're off track. Let's get out of here. Thank you, Dan, for joining us. Thank you
for having me.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you, Encore.
Thank you very much, sir.
You can find the music for this is done by, and thanks to Dos Cicchini Jr. for the music. You can find us on Twitter. It's at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. You can email us if you have questions. If you hate our rankings, email us at itssobadpod@gmail.com for any questions, comments, or concerns. And follow us on the iTunes, the Podbeans, the, I don't know, Google Plays. It's up on a lot of different places, Spotify, etc. But we'll be back in another 2 weeks with another episode. I think we're actually going to be talking about Mega Man 2 next.
Oh, word.
On the podcast.
Nice.
So look forward to that. But thanks, guys.